You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in on a midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Great to have you with us here today on a beautiful, sunny Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga all with you here today. We've got a terrific show coming up one more time with the Hall of Famer. That, of course, is Mark Ironside. We will chat with Mark coming up in about 10-12 minutes or so, it's the extended edition of Mark Ironside coming up today, brought to you always by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Southwest, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. We'll wrap up the 2025 wrestling season, look ahead to the 2026 wrestling season, find out if Mark is going to learn Japanese in the off season, and other pertinent questions for Mark coming up in just a little bit. Basketball talk. We got football talk as well. Kirk Ferentz meeting with the media as we speak. Might be done, actually. He's been going for over a half an hour now, but the Iowa spring football campaign about to get underway. Kirk Ferentz addressing the media assembled in Iowa City just moments ago. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, call us. Love to hear from you. Always 319-366-1600 here at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. If you miss any of our shows, any of the three local shows, ours, Spencer on Sports, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, they're all available in podcast form at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. Happy Wednesday to you.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon to Isaac and everyone out there. And very much looking forward to talking with Mark Ironside, as usual. One of our more popular segments throughout the year. And, yeah, spring football underway. It's kind of news conference week in Iowa City.
It is. Not quite the pomp and circumstance of yesterday when Ben McCollum was officially introduced as the new Iowa men's basketball coach, but pomp and circumstance nonetheless, always with Kirk as spring football getting underway. Not a ton to come out of the Kirk Ferentz news conference. Gronowski's ahead of schedule. The brand new quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes from South Dakota State. That's good news there. Did talk about Ben Keeter a little bit before, just when you and I arrived in the sports office ahead of the show. And according to Kirk Ferentz, I mean, Ben Keeter put out a tweet saying, "I'm back to football now." That was after his wrestling season concluded. Well, their communication process is not going swiftly right now because Kirk Ferentz was asked about Ben Keeter, basically said, "Nah, not on the roster right now. Really, I want to give him some time off. Haven't really talked with him. Haven't heard." To me, that doesn't sound like Ben Keeter's in Kirk's plans right now.
It was kind of an ominous tweet, but it opened my eyes when Keeter tweeted that, but he could have meant just about anything. It doesn't mean that Keeter won't decide to play in the fall. He is not on the roster right now, and he'd have some catching up to do. There's no question about that. Could he help Iowa? I would think so. But I think that's maybe news for another day, but Keeter kind of opened the door with his tweet.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. Should he play football, Isaac, in your opinion? I mean, you've covered the Iowa wrestling team this past year. There are a lot of opinions out there, kind of going back and forth between the two sports.
I think his ceiling for wrestling might be higher. We've seen what he's done at the youth level as far as world champions, like U20s, U23s, stuff like that. So I think his ceiling there is a little bit higher. If he wants to stick with football, I would encourage a position change from linebacker to defensive end to facilitate the increased weight, and just so he can put a little bit more muscle on. So then you can, it's a little bit of easier transition to wrestling, I feel, to go from DN to wrestling rather than pure linebacker to wrestling.
I agree with that. And should that transpire, I think he could eventually help the Iowa football program. Scott, you saw him plenty of times in high school. He's dominant.
Dude's good. He is a dude out there. And I agree with you, Isaac. I think defensive end would be a perfect position for him for many reasons. You talked about the weight gain that he needs to do. I mean, if he's going to wrestle at heavyweight next year for Iowa, he's going to have to gain some poundage. And the similarities between getting off at the whistle in football and in wrestling are go hand in hand, basically. If you can learn to do that as a defensive end in football, you can do it and maybe even get right at the whistle as far as wrestling. Give yourself an advantage on both sports. So
it's interesting because the heavyweight division, Isaac, is going to be sort of drained.
Oh, yeah, a lot, yeah.
With Stevenson and others not in the mix. Only Ben Keeter knows for sure, but it's not unprecedented that a guy wrestles two sports, but back-to-back seasons, say Iowa goes to a bowl game, and that's into January, and he's a player on the football team. I'm not sure how that would work with wrestling.
Yeah, it certainly would be a quick turnaround from one sport to the other. But like you said, heavyweight really cleans out. I think it's like 8 of the top 11 guys are graduating. Something around, I could be wrong on that, but he's going to start next year as a ranked 1, 2, or 3, assuming he's wrestling early in the year. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of, how Kirk Marantz maneuvers that, how Tom Brands maneuvers that, and how Ben Keeter maneuvers that.
Yeah, and we will get to your news, by the way. We will get to it in the Eagles Hideaway scoreboard.
Okay.
Just hang tight.
Okay.
Hang tight. Yes. What's new in the world of women's basketball and people mad at everybody else and jealous of everybody else, et cetera, et cetera. Today's edition. Heavyweight size, 285, probably more like a D tackle, says 5822. But I don't...
It's changed.
It's changed, and I'm with Isaac. I think that he would be more suited to a defensive end position, a rush-in guy. Defensive tackles now, they're 305 pounds, 310 across the board maybe, and I just think Keeter's going to be better off at that, like you said, if, and we're not saying this is going to be gospel or anything like that, but if Keeter comes back to football, back on the roster. He's not even listed on the roster right now. I think defensive end would be the place for him.
Yeah, and heavyweights have kind of opted to get a little bit smaller recently after Snyder. I think he was one who kind of opted to hang around the 250-ish range, the 240-ish range.
True.
So it's, I know that maximum weight is 285, but most of the time the top heavyweights don't go that high anymore because they want to maintain a level of foot speed and quickness that, you know, the lighter weights or being a little bit lighter allows you to have.
Yeah, I mean, there's an 88-pound difference between 197 and 285. It'd be great to have a 240-pound weight division. Yeah.
210. I'm for it. 319-366-1600. And we'll get to Mark Ironside coming up in just a little bit. We're going to kind of move things ahead a little bit as well. There is basketball, always basketball news. Last time I checked the portal, we are into five digits as far as players in the portal is concerned. You're going to have some men's and women's portal news.
You're saying over 10,000?
Yes.
Holy cow.
So, no, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Four digits. We're not to five digits yet. I got my math messed up there. I apologize to everybody. Do not tweet. Do not text. I apologize. I apologize. I don't know if Kirk is surly, Cyclone Tim. He says Kirk seems surly to him today. I don't know. Mark is not surly, and he's going to give us an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, an early edition of the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock, and online at emilshideaway.com.
I am not surly.
You are not surly.
But I could be.
No.
At any rate, on the scoreboard today, plenty of basketball and wrestling news from the transfer portal. Former Iowa center Riley Mulvey has found a new program. He announced he will complete his basketball career at Siena. And two-time All-Big Ten player Cody McMahon of Ohio State.
There you go, and.
will play his senior season elsewhere. In wrestling, A.J. Ferrari and Casey Swiderski will be competing in new singlets next season. Ferrari is in the portal after having won a national title in 2021 and placing third at this season's NCAA tournament. Swiderski is a former All-America at Iowa State. He will transfer to Oklahoma State.
Ah, shocking.
Richard Pitino, who took New Mexico, to the second round of the NCAA tournament, has been introduced as the Xavier head coach. Pitino will join his dad, St. John's coach Rick Pitino, in the Big East Conference. Coincidentally, before the changes at Xavier and Iowa, the schools agreed to a home-and-home series beginning next season in Iowa City. P.J. Sweeney has resigned as head girls basketball coach at Clear Creek Amana, according to the Gazette's Jeff Linder. Sweeney coached at CCA 11 seasons, including a 2024 season in which the Clippers were undefeated Class 4A state champions. Finally, Iowa football, as you mentioned, Scott, has begun spring practice, but without at least a couple players. Defensive back John Nestor and running back Max White have entered the portal. White is a walk-on from Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and he has 1 year of eligibility.
Interesting to see where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, it was a tough day for retirements yesterday. Maybe the last, in fact, there were two or three people that were trying to figure this out. We believe it is the last bastion of 6-on-6 basketball. Scott DeYoung, who coached not only 6-on-6 at Colonesco, got to a championship, but won so many at Ankeny Centennial and Ankeny as well. He announced his retirement yesterday after 37 years. And then our friend Bob Fontana, formerly at Kennedy, started the program at Ankeny Centennial 12 years ago. He announced his retirement yesterday. And B.J. Windhorst, who won the last three 4A boys state championships at West Des Moines Valley, announced his retirement yesterday. So,
and Tom Lilly at Xavier.
Tom Lilly at Xavier. It's going to look different next year on the sidelines. All right, 3:17, we'll take a break, come back. Mark Ironside is here, and there is a ton to talk about in the world of wrestling as we wrap things up. So we will do that when we return for a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it'll be a comfortable afternoon with highs around 60 degrees. Clouds will continue to stream on in and will drop down just to the 40s overnight with mostly cloudy skies and showers developing into Thursday morning. Showers and a few storms will be possible during the first half of the day tomorrow. Then it'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the low 60s. We'll have a chance for a few additional storms that could produce small hail tomorrow night. And then Friday will be warm and windy with highs nearing 80. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and they continue some great, great deals right now if you stop on by your neighborhood Quickstar, including they are extending the deal on Nature's Touch ice cream. Right now, get 1.5 quarts of Nature's Touch ice cream for $2.99 in assorted varieties. There is a limit of 2, though, so why wait? Go and pick up some Nature's Touch ice cream on a beautiful, beautiful early spring day like today. Also, bananas, jumbo onions, and baking potatoes, 29 cents per pound. Bulk produce only, limit 10 pounds. Nature's Touch cream cheese, 8-ounce packages, 99 cents, limit 5. 12 fluid ounce frappes, smoothies, and cold brews, $1.49 in assorted varieties, and $1 off all other sizes. So some great values going on right now for you and your family. Stop on by your neighborhood Quickstar.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Join me, 1600 ESPN's Todd Brawelkamp, broadcasting live during the 18th anniversary sale at Golf Coralville, Saturday from 10 to 1, 1830 North Coral Street.
Back with you, 3:22, here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, Isaac, and Mark Ironside, all present and accounted for here today, and Mark's appearance all through the year, and these many years, brought to you by our friend Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And we're going to play golf with Mark, or with Kurt, coming up.
Yeah, we are.
Later on. That's going to be a hoot.
So we got to stick to that. Let's be some sticklers and stick some tight to the pins, okay?
Oh, man.
That'll be fun. We've been talking about it forever, so Kurt's finally getting it done, all right?
He took the initiative, which Kurt does, so. Yeah.
And let's not let it slide either. So
no.
I think that was a Friday. I looked up at the date, and that's in, what, August?
Mm-hmm. It's in August, so we got a ways to go.
That's a long ways, you know. I got time to get out of the course a couple times, probably maybe 2-3. That's about my yearly golf is 2 or 3 times a year for events. So I don't even remember the last time I really even played my own ball. I just don't get out to play. It's like events.
Well, you got a lot of oars in the water, man.
A couple. I got a race car I need to get built.
Yeah,
right,
I was
now.
Gonna say, now it's race car time.
I need to get a race car built. I need to get crops in the ground, and I need to get on some turkeys.
Not in necessarily in all that order.
Turkeys is first.
So I figured.
Come April 14th, that race car better be done, because if it's not, it's gonna get put on hold.
How was Philly?
Philly was good. You know, I'm not a big fan and not a big city guy by any means, but I went and seen the sights and did the things. I talked to you guys about that last Wednesday, because that was the day that we did our excursions and went and did our touristy stuff, and it was really cool. It was awesome. So it's something I've always wanted to see, is the steps, and run the steps and see the Rocky statue. I've been a big Rocky fan, but town was okay. Between rounds, I either stay there in our suite or our booth, or I go back to the hotel and just kind of hang out in my room or do my own thing and go and work out or something. I don't like go out to the bars. I don't drink, so I don't go out to the bars. But I hear that the beer was super, super expensive. And it's like they didn't even know wrestling was coming to town. So I hear a lot of people were upset about that aspect of it, which is a big part of it. So, yeah. But, you know, inside the Wells Fargo Center and the wrestling, it was fun and it was exciting. And it was a jam-packed 3 days of wrestling. And it was interesting as well, too. So it was good.
There's always highs and lows at the national championships, and that was true for Iowa. Buchanan winning a national championship, that was terrific. Kennedy, I was really happy for him. And there were some lows as well, I guess to be anticipated, but Iowa scored enough points they would have finished second last year.
Oh, there you go. I mean, but what was the difference between second and, like, fifth last year? Like, three,
not much.
Like,
not
five
much.
Points. I mean, it wouldn't have taken much, but Iowa, they didn't have a bad tournament. We took 9 qualifiers. We had 5 All-Americans. We had 3 finalists and 1 champion. So it wasn't like a terrible, bad tournament for Iowa by any means. When you look at the overall team score and you see that Penn State's still 96 points ahead of us, well, that's a huge gap, and we have a lot of making up to do. You just, like we've been talking about for the last X amount of years, you got Penn State way up here, and then you got everybody else. Nebraska, give them kudos.
They had a great tournament.
As much as I despise Manning, he freaking put together the Big Tens and the Nationals, put together a heck of a tournament for his team. His team was rolling, and not only rolling and winning, but like winning on bonus points. I didn't have a chance to figure out all the where we were at bonus point-wise. I know Stephen Grace, my radio partner, did that, and we were way behind going into the Saturday side of the medal matches Saturday morning, like way behind Penn State, Nebraska, Okie State on bonus points. I think we had 9, and they were all in like the 20s. I mean, you give us another 15, 20 bonus points, you know, I mean, where does that put us? That puts us right up in there with them, and that's basically where we're getting beat is on a lot of those is on bonus points, and we're just not dominating or even honestly looking to get pins, and they're getting a lot of pins. I think between the Big Tens and the Nationals, we had 1 pin. That was Patrick Kennedy at the Big Tens. That was it. 1 pin. Like, how many matches is that? Now, granted, that's, you know, some high level wrestling, but 1 pin in all those matches. And that's just, you know, when you're wrestling in tight quarters against a really good teams like Okie State now and Nebraska, those points matter. Those points matter big time. I mean, you look at the, like, basically fourth in that tournament through ninth, and it's like within, like, it's like an 8-point spread. So every point matters. And, you know, I mean, you could ask any one of those teams.
True. About Iowa. I agree with you. I thought it was a pretty good showing by the Hawkeyes. Obviously, it hurt when with Teamer and Parco. You give them, I think, maybe an average
tournament. Yeah, that's the other thing
tournament.
I talk about.
They
you
get
know,
second, maybe, or even
you
third.
You give us, like, 15 bonus points. If we do our job, and we get another, like, 15 bonus, even 10, for that matter, and then give us, like, 10 points for Parco if he wrestles to a seed, a fifth, and it's really, really unfortunate for Parco, personally, that he blows his knee out and like completely blew it out, and there's just nothing that he could do, and that happens in the second round. I mean, he most likely is All-American, and you know he probably hits fifth place, and we get another 10 points. I mean, we're right into second, third for sure. But it's just really unfortunate for Parco personally. Not how you want to end a 6-year career. And then it was unfortunate for the team race as well, too, for the Hawks, because that was, you know, were some a decent amount of points that we did not get because of an unfortunate injury.
Let's talk about Ayalon Bird. A lot of people are talking. I was talking to Loretta about it yesterday. I'm a huge wrestling fan. You've been a proponent of stalling calls.
Mm-hmm.
Did he deserve that second stall?
No.
In a championship match?
No, he did
at
not.
At that point?
He did not deserve that, no. But if he had been more offensive from the get-go, he wouldn't have gotten the first one, and then he wouldn't have been in that position.
Yeah.
You know, you can't leave it in the hands of a referee, and that's what he did. As much as you hate to say it, Drake did not put himself in a position to win that match, ever. except for when it started 0-0 at the beginning of the match. He never initiated the hand fighting. He never really committed to a leg attack or his offense. And he really didn't do anything until he absolutely had to in the last 30-second overtime when the match was on the line and he had to score to win. And then it was Bird could afford to, because he did his job throughout the match, push the pace, didn't have any stall calls, and he could afford to run from us the whole time. So there's no one to blame there. I don't blame the referees on that match at all whatsoever. There was one scramble situation in there where Drake had him stacked up. I've seen a couple still photos where he had him stacked up and he had him pinned. You can't really go off of that. The same thing with Stieber and Ramos years ago. The same thing happened. It wasn't a false situation, really, right there. So I don't blame the referees at all whatsoever. Yeah, do I agree that the second stall call was warranted? Absolutely not. But if we wouldn't have been in the position we were in, then we wouldn't have left it up into the fate of a referee's hand, and then that wouldn't have happened. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. The other two, first of all, Buchanan, good for him. And I know you were talking about all season, about when you get the opportunity – I mean, ride some guys. And, man, Ferrari match and then the championship, he did exactly that.
He put on an amazing ride.
Well, like, it was incredible.
Ride. Like, incredible is right. Like, I don't know how he hung on to Barr like he did. I thought he was out for sure. And he wanted to win a national title. He flat out, that was a moment when he had to ride Barr and keep him down, and he had to ride him out, that's where your mindset comes in. There's no technique involved there. It was just pure grit, will, whatever you want to call it, mindset. I'm not letting him go. And that's what Drake Aiello has to have early in a match to get a takedown. I am getting a takedown. But we never had that. That's how Henriksen beat Gable Stevenson in two different ways. One, how he fought off that first takedown,
yes,
that went to a stalemate by Gable Stevenson, how he fought that and did not give up that takedown. Pure will right there. And then two, finishing the shot that he had on Gable at the end. Just pure grit, mindset, mentality, however you want. And that's what it takes to win hard-fought, close wrestling matches. And that's why it doesn't a lot of times come down to who's the better athlete or who's the most talented or who has the better record. At that point in time, it comes down to who wants it the most. I know I sound like I came from Philadelphia and I'm just reciting Rocky right now, but that's what it comes down to. It really does. And that's what Stephen Buchanan did with that ride.
How important is it for Iowa to keep Stephen Buchanan in the RTC for the development of guys like Angelo, of Ben Keeter, of Gabe Arnold, to have guys, a national champion, a guy who really enjoyed his time at Iowa? Because I look at like Penn State and Iowa's RTC, and that's where I see the real gap as far as training room goes. How important is it for them to hold on to Stephen Buchanan and help their development?
Yeah, there's a gap there between Iowa and Penn State with our RTCs is exactly right. And I actually had a conversation with Tom about that at the Nationals on Wednesday when we were there getting our team warm up in and stuff like that. And I asked him, you know, what's Buchanan's plans for next year? Is he planning on sticking around? Absolutely, yes, he is. He will be part of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, and he is going to chase some Olympic dreams and go through 28. So good. That is fantastic news that he's going to be in the room and training and working alongside. And that's big for recruiting as well, too. Knowing that a guy like Stephen Buchanan's in the room to train not only with Angelo, but also Keeter and Mako, hopefully, if he commits and comes in, and some of those bigger guys, that's a great recruiting tool and a great guy to have around for our program for sure. And you couldn't ask for a nicer kid. I mean, that kid is so incredibly nice and he's intelligent and so smart and he's not like cocky or arrogant at all, and he's got a big heart, and he's just such a wish he had 10 of those, you know, you really do.
Yeah. Breaking news here, Cody Chittum transferring.
That was kind of expected. I from what I had seen before.
What was he transferring to? Or was he just hitting the portal?
Just hitting the portal.
Swiderski's going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Swiderski's going to Oklahoma State. Bearclaw, I believe, is going to Oklahoma State, who was supposed to go to Iowa State, but he kind of shifted and went to Oklahoma State. You know, obviously the big news today. Now, Chittum, that's new to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I think Redding had already hit the the portal for Iowa State before the Nationals. I don't know what's going on in Iowa State, but everybody's jumping ship and leaving there in a hurry. And with one, and I don't mean to like kick, you know, other teams while they're down, but one All-American, and I think he got eighth. I mean, that's a bad tournament.
It wasn't good for Iowa State.
Like really, Johnson really ugly. Yeah. Like really ugly. And then you and I, well, they end up ninth or eighth.
Yeah, ninth.
You know, I think we talked a little bit about that. I was talking to Annie Hamilton about that on Wednesday. I mean, they're ranked fourth going in. I know that they, I'm sure, were not upset with their finish in the tournament. Would they have two All-Americans?
Yep.
Is that it? You know, Keck Eisen, who unfortunately got beat in the finals.
Yeah, Happel.
And Happel, who, congratulations to him, he got fourth, I believe. You know, so kudos to Happel, small-town Lisbon kid, local kid, goes there and becomes an All-American, and that's fantastic for him at 141 pounds there. And then Keck Eisen ends up getting beat, but what a fantastic kid Keck Eisen is, and makes it to the finals, and in a good match again with Strachey. Strachey scored one takedown and one, and that's what it, we knew what it would come down to, and athleticism won there, and that's what it is. But you and I just did not finish overall, and that was the question. Okay, yeah, they threw some good dual meets together. They beat a Nebraska team that just kicked butt in the Big Tens and the Nationals, but that wasn't Nebraska that they wrestled. That was the Nebraska at the end of the, or even we wrestled in the dual meet or the end of the season. And it was, I was just really kind of curious. There was a lot of hype on Northern Iowa going into that, and they you know, they didn't wrestle up to what they were expected to on paper, but that's kind of where I thought they'd honestly. I thought, honestly, top 10 for them is going to be, that's a good tournament. The best they've ever done there under Doug Schwab is 11th, so they upped that by a couple of spots. And what they did with, like, literally no money or really much portal or anything, that's really, really impressive. And the awesome thing about it is it was recognized by the National Wrestling Coaches Association, and Doug Schwab got Coach of the Year.
Yep.
So that is fantastic that they recognize that and they award him with a Coach of the Year, and kudos to them and awesome for them. And then Manning, you know, tip his hat to him too. Congratulations to him. He got Coach of the Year or Coach of the Tournament. So, and I think that was warranted as well.
Very true. Very, very true.
Well, I'd like you to take us. You were there. We watched on TV or listened on radio. The Stevenson-Hendrickson match, it had, I said the other day, it had sort of a WWE feel to it with Hendrickson coming out in an American flag. And
Stevenson saying something to him.
Saying
yeah,
something,
I know what that was all
or
about.
Or looking at him, whatever.
Apparently said something about, I'm the one with the medals.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was all about. That was, and
the
I'd like.
The ESPN announcers couldn't even talk at the,
at
end,
the
of
end of
that.
It, yeah, there's, yeah. you know, it was weird kind of talking before we went on air. It was a great match to end the tournament on, for sure. I didn't know it was going to be that much flair and excitement, and a lot of people didn't. I mean, I don't even know if you can bet on wrestling. I don't know. Can you, like, bet on matches or anything like that?
I don't
that?
Think you can bet on individual matches. You could bet on the... You
team.
Could race for the second
so
place.
So you couldn't bet on that match?
Like, no, you couldn't bet on
that match.
I'd say,
if you could
saw.
Bet on that match, and people did, and they went with Hendrickson, they could have won a lot of money because that was not what people were expecting. But it was very, very cool the way that he came out to one of my all-time favorite songs. And matter of fact, my daughters always ask, because back in the day when I was wrestling, you know, because I'm an old fart now, we didn't have walkout songs. We had
nope.
a marching band, you know? That's all we had. And they're like, well, what did you have for a song? And I was like, you know what? Honestly, Steve Earle, Copperhead Road, that gets me. I freaking love that song. Like, I love that song. Like, I crank it in my truck or car as loud as it'll go on a regular. I freaking love it. And just that beat. And he comes out to that wearing the American flag around his shoulders. And Gable had already come out. And he has to walk by. He's on the green carpet, which is right where Trump and his whole posse was sitting or whatever, too. And like or dislike Trump, I don't care. You know, I don't care what your political affiliation is or whatever. It doesn't matter. Having the president of the United States at the National Wrestling Finals Tournament twice now, That's freaking cool for the sport. That is really, really cool. No other president in history has ever wanted to go to the NCAA Wrestling Championships, and that's fantastic for our sport that we got a president that actually shows up and does that and goes on the floor and shakes the hands with all the, not just the winners, but the All-Americans as well, too, anyone that wanted to come over and see him. But anyway, he comes out right by Trump, and he's got to remember, he's from the Air Force. You know, right, he's part of the Air
Force.
He's
a lieutenant in the Air Force.
Yeah, he had to get special permission, which there was some commanding officer that went to bat for him and went to fought for him so that he could take a year and go pursue his dream of becoming a national champion and transfer to Oklahoma State, where he went to wrestle for David Taylor. And I'll tell you what, David Taylor has done an amazing job. And they, no disrespect to the Air Force coaches at all, but what they did for Wyatt Hendrickson in 1 year's time, and how they developed him from where he was before he was in the national finals. He got beat by Kirkley, who he ended up kicking the crap out of in the semis. That's how far he came in 1 year. But his mindset, his wrestling, everything about him has really evolved this year, just, you know, one last final year at Oklahoma State. So that's really cool. He's part of the Air Force. He comes out wearing the American flag, wins probably the biggest upset in college wrestling history since Gable got beat by Owens. And then they play the song again. I mean, it's just, and the way that he did it too, you know, the way he fought off that first shot, and he's like, I am not giving up these points right now. I'm not. He just flat out willed it. I'm not. And then to get on his own shot and re-penetrate and get it in and suck it up and finish. And then Gable gets up and he puts him back down. I mean, it was just, that was a wrestling match, and nobody left their seats. And it was just a great way for the Nationals tournament to end on. It was just like the fireworks of fireworks, and it was just awesome to see. And it was fantastic of the sport, because the first few matches, four matches or so, were very, very, very boring and like no takedowns. And I was like, this is not good for an audience on TV, especially for someone that's not used to wrestling and coming and watching this and like, okay, when's something gonna happen? Wake me up. You know, well, they were up by the end.
That's what Greg and Epworth was asking. Those first few matches were, until they got to Hardy and Mendez, were a little bit stagnant.
Yeah, very, very stagnant. I think
Isaac.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you more about David Taylor's first year at Okie State. We also saw Dean Hamity take a pretty big leap this year for him. Do you think they are a team with David Taylor as the coach that are poised to maybe challenge Penn State? And I don't want to say in the next couple years, but further on down the road, 5-6 years, they can actually be title challengers for them.
I think results speak for themselves. I think they spoke for themselves there. I don't think it's going to be 5 or 6 years. I'm thinking 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, it could be next year with the portal. You don't know. I mean, if you've got money and a kid's in a portal, I mean, look what Michigan did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously Taylor's developing these guys. I mean, look at Hamity. Look what he did. We talked about Hendrickson. Look at what he did with Hamity. Look what he did with Strapley, you know, the 25-pounder who makes the finals as a 7 seed. He put together an unbelievable tournament. That's a Minnesota kid 2 years ago. People don't realize that. He's a Minnesota kid 2 years ago. And so, yeah, I mean, 6 of his guys were portal guys and bought and paid for, but that's the life we live in. But it's not just getting them in. I mean, look at where Teamer was at for us this year. I mean, he was a portal guy, second in the nation, and he didn't score any points for us at the Nationals. So, I mean, you still have to develop them. I mean, they still have to compete. They still have to do their job on the mat. Yeah, not get injured. That's very difficult. Unfortunately, that's what happened to Parco, you know. So, but, yeah, I mean, I think David Taylor proved himself right there for sure, no doubt about it. Like, there's a new sheriff in town, and I think the rest of the country is on notice.
Mark Ironside joining us here to wrap up the wrestling season on a Wednesday, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Several questions on the text line. Let's see. You talked about the lack of bonus points for Iowa. 0312 asking, how do you fix that?
Well, I'm not in the room, so I'm not pointing fingers at the coaching staff and saying, well, maybe we don't coach it. Maybe we don't teach how to pin anymore. I don't know. So I'm not in the room, so I literally don't know. But we need to make, obviously, a more effort at it, because at least out on the mat. And because when we're out on the mat, we're just never looking for falls. I mean, even from a neutral position, when we go from feet, take someone down in a double, or we end up in a high crotch, we end up in a leg turk or an arm turk, we're not looking to get pins. If they happen to kind of fall into our lap, then we'll take them. But, I mean, four pins was the most we had this year, and that was out of Buchanan. The next was Keeter with two. I mean, that's just like, come on. What's to fix it? I think it just has to be a lot more of a focus on it for sure.
Speaking of the portal, $60 million question. Did A.J. Ferrari burn bridges at Iowa? Is he a fit for Iowa? In your opinion, whether you've talked to Tom Brands or not.
I haven't talked to Tom. In my opinion, I think that I don't know if people saw his interview with Flo after he was done. It was like 21 minutes long. If you have 21 minutes to spare, I highly, highly, highly recommend going out and watching this interview. And you will not be bored. It's 21 minutes, and there is no boringness to that interview at all. He touches on everything, and he is just 100% diarrhea of the mouth. He doesn't know how to keep anything in. He lets it all go. He taught me a lot of things. I did not know there was such a thing as organic underwear. Okay? I had no idea. But you know what? He's wearing it. He's doing everything he possibly can. He says he turned a new leaf. The one thing I do like, and it's funny because I just got done talking to Annie Hamilton after his last match, and he was getting interviewed down in the tunnel, and he, like right there, and I was talking to Annie. I was like, you know, love him or hate him, he's fantastic for our sport. He is fantastic for our sport.
Yep.
He gets out there, he does the splits, he walks around, even when he gets beat like he just won, you know. I mean, fans are starting
to kind of like,
yeah, I mean, he's entertaining. And that's what he's trying to be, and he wants to be.
He can back it up.
He most of the time, he can back it up. He didn't back it up against Buchanan.
No.
You know? He didn't back it up. And he told why he lost that match, too. I don't really buy it, but he told why he lost that match. And it's fun to listen to. Is he a fit for Iowa? That's. I mean, you want my opinion? I think that, yeah, I think that he could be a fit for Iowa. I do. I really, really do. But it's not Mark Ironside's call. I think it's Beth Getz's call, Tom Brands' call, the administration. I think the fans, our fans, did not treat him fairly. I really believe that. I was there. I saw it in person. I don't think they treated him fairly for being Hawkeye. Yeah, he's not your standard everyday personality, okay? But there's different strokes for different folks, and nobody on the face of this earth is perfect by any means. And I'm not saying, yeah, he's saying he turned over a new leaf. I don't know if I 100% completely buy it or not, but I don't know. I mean, his brother's here, and it'd be kind of cool to have an 84 and a 97 there. And so, but I also hear Iowa State is really, really on him hard.
Okay.
Like, really hard.
That's kind of why Chittum is transferring.
Because Ferrari's coming in.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why Chittum is transferring.
Interesting.
Well, that's one of the reasons he left Iowa.
Yeah.
It's because we had a Ferrari coming in. Exactly why he left Iowa. So where does he go now? He ain't coming back to Iowa.
5308.
You and I. Go get him, Doug.
5308 asking about, and we saw this, if I had one, I'd throw it. The challenge brick.
Oh, my gosh.
Too many? Is it interrupting the flow of the matches? It takes forever.
Well,
it's not as bad as basketball.
It wasn't bad until, like, the semifinals, and then especially Saturday morning and Saturday night, because each team is given, it depends on how many qualifiers you have.
Correct.
And each team is given an allotment of challenges they can have. Well, if you get to Saturday and you got two left, might as well use them. So they throw them, which there's no way in holy heck it's getting overturned. Like, but they feel like if it's here, I got to burn it up. It's like, you know what? I got a tank of gas in here. I got all the money in the world. Let's freaking hammer it and burn all the gas we want. I don't even freaking care. It's like a waste, but whatever, you know. But yeah, it gets old. It gets really, really old. And I'm thinking during the finals when they threw a couple of them, I don't remember who. It's like, oh my gosh.
I didn't know Tom.
Let's go to break. Let's go to break. We don't have to keep the TV here. They're not going to overturn this. We're not going to miss anything. Let's cut to commercial.
Challenge a stalling call. I don't know if he could, but he just threw it anyway.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've said no to that, too.
I'm just going to throw the brick and see what happens.
Yeah, I was asking the same thing. Steven, I was like, I don't think we can challenge that.
I thought that was great.
I think one guy we kind of glossed over, maybe not intentionally, is Caliendo. He had a heck of a year.
Yes, he did.
He had a great year. He had a fantastic year, and he really, really did a great job and closed the gap on an extremely tough competitor in Messenbrink. And there's another guy that just doesn't get talked about a lot, but just shows up every day, nicest kid in the world, not really cocky or arrogant, doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself, just lets his wrestling speak for itself out on the mat. And we are very, very blessed to have him in our program for sure. And he's going to be back.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
And to answer everybody's questions out there, no, Patrick Kennedy cannot drop down to 157 pounds, and neither can Caliendo. So what are you going to see next year at 174? I don't know. You're probably going to see a mix between Patrick Kennedy and Gabe Arnold, would be my guess. How that shapes out, yet to be determined.
The question, several people on the text line with the question, and we've talked about it the last several days with Isaac. The off season is going to be the off season of the Japanese wrestler.
Yeah.
So when are you going to Japan and when are you learning Japanese, Mark?
I don't know. Can you believe that? That's shocking. I tell you what, Penn State, man, they get them all.
I didn't know until Isaac. What did you say yesterday about different programs?
Oh, yeah. Like, Rei Higuchi was at Lehigh. Takatani was at Cornell yesterday. I think a lot of American schools are going to bring these guys, maybe just for the RTC, but there's going to be, you already see Ren Sakamoto at Oki State. I think there's going to be a lot of schools that are trying to go to Japan and get some guys just
Iowa
for
State
training
had one this year, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrestle Drake.
Yeah, Kaisen Terakina, right?
No. I don't know the guy's name. The only match he wrestled was against Drake. They brought him out.
Nebraska, wasn't it?
No, that was Iowa. No, it was Nebraska.
It was Oki State.
Oki State.
I was thinking Iowa State. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Oki State. Yeah, it's kind of weird, really weird. But how old is Tagachi or whatever?
Takatani is 30. Rei Higuchi's 28.
Yeah, he's up there. Like, now we're going to go to school?
I think it might just be RTC training.
Well, for now, that's all Ono was, and now look at he's...
That's true.
I mean, Ono's...
But he was at Japanese college for 2 years, which is a whole different thing, because, okay, how does Japanese college translate into...
It's like junior college. It didn't count.
I mean, this is nuts. We've pole vaulted over nuts. Now into something crazy.
We really have. So now, and the funny thing is, it's like, it's weird because all these guys come over and they'll wrestle college here, but then they go and they wrestle for their own country, you know, at the Worlds and the Olympics and stuff like that. You know, it's like Gomez wrestles for Mexico.
It happens in basketball all the time. Yeah.
I think they just want to improve mat wrestling is my biggest takeaway, because you see the gap as far as mat wrestling goes for Japanese wrestlers internationally. They're really good standing up and neutral. Their hand fighting is excellent. But you saw it with Ren Sakamoto against Oki when Drake had him on bottom. How does that help you?
How does wrestling folk style help your mat wrestling and freestyle?
I mean,
I think it'd hurt him. I mean, I really don't think it's going to help
you. You don't think, like, gut wrenches or anything like that would help him at all?
You don't use gut wrenches in folk style. You can't. You can't lock your hands. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that's going to help him. Now, I think feet, yeah, I mean, feet wrestling's feet wrestling, but I don't think they're gaining anything other than having some fun coming to America and getting a little notoriety. And honestly, getting into the, like, say, a Penn State room and wrestling with, you know, other RTC guys and just having good workout partners, you know. But I don't think it's going to make them better from a freestyle standpoint at all whatsoever.
Yeah. We talked about Keeter before you got here for 6298 out there in his question. He's not on the football roster right now. He says he's playing football. But
I have no idea. I really, really don't know. I know that as soon as the tournament was over, he went on a spring break with his family and enjoying a little downtime. And that's something he had a great tournament too.
Yeah.
All-American, seventh place.
And he's going to be top three going into next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that graduated up in front of him. A lot of people. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with next year, no doubt, in the wrestling world. Whether he plays football too or not, I don't know. But it definitely, I promise you right now, he's not like going to stop wrestling and just go play football. That's not happening.
No. Does Caliendo move to 157? That's our last question.
No, I just talked about
that. Yeah, you just talked about that. Not doing it. Not doing it. Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you, appreciate it.
For everything, and we'll get out on the golf course.
Yeah.
And we'll see you at the track.
The racetrack.
Gonna be here before we know it.
I know it's coming fast, and I gotta get this car put together.
You get a 2-man cruiser, I'll come out and ride with you, Murph.
Just hop in my car and go take it for some laps.
Now we got something to see this summer.
Yeah, just go hop. I'll let you get in my car. Go freaking hop in my car and go.
You said it, Mark. Mark Dukes, you said
There's a lot of great things going on at Hawkeye Downs this year. 100 years of Hawkeye Downs. It's going to be a really, really fun summer out there. And Brian's saying we're going to have 14 to 15 late models weekly. That's awesome. We got 2 Big 8 races this year, a super late race, truck race. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, fellas. Mark. See you again next year.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, get you a bowling preview when we return.
Whether you're building a single roof or a successful roofing business, roofing contractors like you need the right tools for the job, and software is no exception. ServiceTitan is on a mission to be the most powerful software platform for the trades, with purpose-built technology proven to maximize revenue, streamline operations, and deliver 5-star customer experiences. We are taking roofing companies like yours to the next level and beyond. ServiceTitan, we are built for this. See what we can do for roofers at servicetitan.com.
Evan Cohen here. Picking a place to build a life is a lot like selecting a draft pick. Make a decision that will set you up for long-term success. Pick Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, you'll find dynamic career opportunities, beautiful seasons, affordable living, and legendary weekends. From its high quality of life and great schools to its fine arts, culinary, and pro sports scenes, Wisconsin gives you so much to look forward to. That's why you should pick Wisconsin. Learn more about making Wisconsin your home. Visit pickwisconsin.com.
Friday, March 28th, XFC awakens the MMA world in Iowa City. Get ready for an unforgettable night at Extreme Arena. Only the toughest step into the cage, ready to leave it all on the line. The awakening is here. Prepare for an explosive night of combat. Don't miss a moment. Tickets on sale now at xfcfight.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it is a Wednesday, and it's Bowling Night in America. This preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. We can't go any lower.
Now the Rusty Nails are in spoiler mode. That's
We've been in spoiler mode. We're now, gosh.
It's been a rough march, to say the least, but... Try to save some face tonight at lanes 31 and 32 against one of the two Evans Plumbing teams.
I've been told we may only 4-2 tonight. I said, it really doesn't matter. There's no place below 14th.
No.
We'll have a complete report coming up for you tomorrow. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us as well on the Thursday edition as we look ahead to the Sweet 16, which gets started tomorrow. Always good to talk wrestling, wrap things up. It was a very fun event over in Philadelphia. Cleveland next year. For the NCAA Wrestling Championships. All right, Mark, see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Who's cutting down the nets this year? Get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest upsets to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100